Thank you so much, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome to our first service today at First Colony and on this Mission Sunday. A particular welcome to you. Hey, did you like rolling that clock back last night? Wasn't that nice? Fantastic. I was talking to one of our young ladies this morning. She said, I loved rolling my clock back last night. Let's do that every week. Good idea. Okay. Glad to have you with us today, and as you look around, it's obvious today's Mission Sunday, and all those flags represent people. In the kingdom of God, it advances one person at a time, one heart at a time. And here in the First Colony Church, I will tell you, you have been a fantastic sending church, and we have had some fantastic missionaries to send. And they have served us well and served the Lord well. And today, as our missions offering goes to really help the ministry work, the mission work of Will and Shauna Tucker, I got to tell you, I believe in them. I'm so thankful God brought them our way. They are going to do a great job. And it is our privilege, it is our pleasure to get to partner with them in this great work in Uganda. Mission work's expensive. Mission work is costly. You say, well, yeah, it costs me. I mean, every week I give, and part of my tithes and offerings go to mission work, and we have special missions offerings. Mission work is costly. It's expensive. It's even more costly, even more expensive for the person who goes. And mission work is even controversial. There are some countries where it is illegal to do mission work. And there are plenty of people right here in the good old U.S. of A. in our pluralistic culture who say, I think it is wonderful for you to believe and practice the religion of your choice. However, to attempt to persuade another person to believe as you believe and to practice as you practice, that's over the boundaries of what's acceptable. But Jesus... You know, if you grew up in church, you just sort of hear this. You go, I mean, this is actually a radical concept. He says, I want you to persuade. Go make disciples of all nations. Go preach the gospel everywhere, he says. And there are still several thousand unreached people groups in the world, the majority of which are found among Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and the tribal peoples of Africa, the Middle East, Central, and South Asia. Now, let me ask you to follow along in two or three Bible passages of Scripture, okay? Here's the first one out of Romans chapter 10. And I think this is fascinating because this is one where the Apostle Paul asks you to think backwards. And he asks you to think not just in terms of results, but process. Did you hear Coach Nick Saban last night on TV? Head football coach of Alabama. They got beat yesterday. Let me say that again. They got beat yesterday. It was fantastic. A great day for me is when Tennessee wins and Alabama loses. That's a fantastic day right there. Sorry, Casey. All right. But Coach Saban last night, he said, we have too many people on this team who focus on results. Not enough people who focus on process. Here's the process, he says. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise God. But how does that happen? How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. It is so beautiful for Will and Shauna to go. And it is so beautiful for you to sacrifice to send them. Let me switch sports analogies. The oldest play in basketball is the give and go. That's mission work right there. Give and go. And how beautiful are the feet of those who go, how beautiful are the feet and the hands of those who make it possible. Now to Luke chapter 10. Yesterday, I was with a group of folks, and we did a SWOT analysis. You know what that is, S-W-O-T. You look at the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Jesus says, let's do a SWOT analysis of outreach. Here we go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What's a strength? Answer, the Lord of the harvest is ready to be in your corner. What's a weakness? The workers are few. What's the opportunity? The harvest is plentiful and possible. What's the threat? You won't ask. We'll depend on us and not the Lord. And I would suggest to you that one of the great, the unseen energy behind the great mission work that's been done by you has been the prayers of the little boys and the little girls, the men and the women of this church. Let's go to another passage of Scripture that speaks to mission work, because listen carefully, not only do we want to do outreach in faraway exotic places like Uganda, we also want to do outreach in faraway exotic places like Stafford and Rosenberg and Sugar Land. And Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, to the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. What that means is, we want to be salt and light in Uganda. We want to be salt and light in Stafford and Rosenberg and downtown Houston. And in a sense, every person in this room is a missionary. And so the question is not just how do we do missions in Uganda. The question is, how do you do missions right here in addition to doing missions in places like Uganda? And Paul says, I contextualize the gospel. May I ask you something? Do you contextualize the gospel? I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some. What does that mean? He says, I accommodate people. I love people. I serve people. I'm willing to listen to people. I figure out their hopes, their dreams, their fears, and I do not prematurely judge them and exclude them. I want to get to know them, and I want to figure out a way, a creative way, to introduce them to Jesus. And Paul says, put the scripture back up here on the screen, please. Paul says, and I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. What does that mean? The great blessing of the gospel is to see somebody's sins forgiven, to see somebody's life changed, to see somebody's life transformed, to see somebody come to Christ, and to know the great joy and the blessing that's there. General William Booth is the gentleman who started Salvation Army. He was invited to Buckingham Palace. King Edward asked him to sign his autograph book. And William Booth wrote these words. He said, Your Majesty, some men's ambition is art. Some men's ambition is fame. Some men's ambition is gold. My ambition is the souls of men. That's my bottom line. I want to ask you some questions very quickly. Five important questions. Because I'm speaking today to several hundred missionaries. First of all, how do you go? After prayer, you go in the authority of Jesus. That's how you go, with the Lord with you and the Lord helping you. To whom do you go? Answer, you go to the natural network and circle of your relationships, where you live, where you work, where you play, where you learn. What do you say? You listen for three stories. Story number one, their story. Their hurts, their fears, their life transitions. Story number two, your story. You are the foremost expert on your story, how you came to Christ, how Christ has impacted your life, how the fellowship of Christ's people has touched you. Their story, your story, and God's story. As you share the truth of Scripture. By the way, you can do that with one verse. John 3:16. You can do that with one verse of Scripture. Romans 6:23. We have that Scripture, Wayne. Can you put that up on the screen? Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You can drive that home. But you listen, their story. What's their story? Their life transition, their hurts, their fears. You become all things to all people so that by all means you might save some. And your story, you're the expert on how Jesus has benefited you. And God's story. And what are you looking for? Answer, you're looking for responsive people. People who are responsive to the message of the gospel, or people who are responsible, who are responsive to the messenger of the gospel, which is you. People who like you, people who know you. And then here's a fifth question. Ronnie, what makes you think that I will do this? Answer, I believe you'll do this because you are a fisher of people. That's who you are. That's your assignment. You can be that beacon of hope to someone who is now outside of Christ. And I believe you'll do this because you, of all people, get the full picture of things. Let's look at a scripture that was read earlier from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish. Listen carefully. Jesus never used words like unchurched, church shoppers. He didn't think in institutional terms. He thought in ministry terms. You know the full picture like Jesus knows the full picture. The kingdom of God advances one life at a time, and it happens when your heart is changed and you begin to see people like Christ sees people. And you understand that there is a real heaven and there is a real hell, and real people will go there forever. And we're called upon to seize the opportunities to be a bold, let me say that again, to be a bold witness for Christ. But it all begins in your heart and mind. You remember the Mercedes-Benz commercials from a few years ago where they demonstrated their unique safety features? And then they informed people through their commercials that rather than seeking a patent to protect their innovations from others in the automotive industry, they willingly shared their safety innovations. Why? Here was their answer. Some things are too important not to share. Some things are just too important not to share. And I think you have a heart for outreach, and you're going to become even a bolder witness for Christ because you believe that Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy of all the adoration and all the praise right here in Sugarland, Rosenberg, Stafford, Uganda, among all the nations. There's a great picture in Revelation of Jesus in heaven. Revelation 5:9, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men and women from every tribe and language and people and nation. Missions is fueled by a people who have a passion to see the glory of God worshiped among all the nations. All right, I need to get Jerry Morris up here. But before I invite Jerry up, I want to tell you a story about Abraham Lincoln. When Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States, he would often spend Wednesday nights at a little Presbyterian church. Dr. Phineas Gurley was the pastor there. Lincoln liked to listen to Dr. Gurley, but he didn't like to make a scene, walk in, you know, the church, the president's here. And so the pastor would leave his office study open. And Lincoln would walk over to this little Presbyterian church with a couple of his aides, And he would sit there with the door open and he would listen to Dr. Phineas Gurley give his Wednesday night Bible lesson. One Wednesday night when it was over, they were walking back, and one of his aides said, "Mr. President, what did you think of the sermon tonight?" And he said, it was obvious that Dr. Gurley had spent a lot of time on his message. It was very well crafted, and it was delivered quite well. And so, you thought it was a great message? No, I did not think it was a great message. Why? Because Dr. Gurley did not ask us to do anything great. Nobody drifts into becoming a Christian. You're not going to drift into being a generous Christian. Here's what I'm going to ask you to think about right now. All of us, we got all kinds of mundane things going on. All of us, we've got all kinds of routine things going on. We got house payments, we're raising kids, we got things going on. But what is it that you're involved in right now? What kind of investment are you making right now that's for eternity's sake? What is it that you're extending yourself for right now that as you stand before the Lord, there's a healthy sense of pride that, Lord, I'm bringing this to you as an act of worship and devotion to you. The kingdom of God advances one life at a time. And I'm asking you this morning to do something great. I am asking you to give joyfully and generously to missions. Jerry Morris is one of our elders. He's the chairman of our missions committee. Jerry, would you come up here and lead us in our next steps?
Mission Sunday. But before we do, on behalf of our past and our present missionaries, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your interest and your support in missions. Your dedication is evident, not just through the resources that you provided, but through the prayer and the involvement that you've so willingly given. I think we've had probably close to 100 people visit our mission in Uganda. And as well as that, we've got some of our own members that are currently missionaries now that we help support. Andrea Gom in Italy, in the Yoakums in Lima, Peru. And even now we've got Riley Curry considering going to work in Honduras, and we're evaluating how we can assist him in that effort as well. But this morning we're particularly privileged to be sending the Tuckers to be joining the Huttons in Uganda, and we truly look forward to the blessing that they will be to that mission work there. So I ask you to consider committing yourself to prayer. Consider committing yourself to communication and support. And consider committing your resources to assist with our mission work there. Would you bow with me, please? Father, we are so thankful for salvation. And Lord, the opportunity to share our faith with others. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to share that faith through the mission work that we support here at First Colony. But Lord, we're also so thankful to share that faith with our friends and our community around us. Lord, we pray a special prayer for the Tuckers this morning. We ask that you will bless them in their final preparation as they're prepared to go and answer the call that you've called upon them. And Lord, we pray that you will take this offering and that you will bless it in a way that it will be used to make your glory evident throughout this world, within our community, and Father, within our church. Lord, we not only send these funds to our foreign mission fields, but Father, we commit ourselves to share the gospel within our community as well. Bless us, Father, this day as we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.